okay, gripe about Star Trek. Let's open the floodgates. No, why can they just go to all the planets and breathe and it's all fine and nothing? Do they not know about...
Because they're Class M's, Andrew.
Are they... So is the lore that they're all habitable by humans without any sort of equipment?
If they're Class M. So they scan the planets before they go down to them. Uh-huh. So they're passing by all these... Like, sometimes they have to wear suits.
Oh.
They're passing by all these other planets all the time that wouldn't be habitable.
Okay.
But they only choose to go down because they can breathe there.
Okay. Second Star Trek gripe. Why can they talk to everyone?
Universal translator.
Okay. Third Star Trek. Third Star Trek gripe. What is the point of
their, of Star Trek?
Of their mission, though.
To boldly go where no man has gone before. That's so easy.
Right.
It's like you've never seen the show. Dear millennial parent, are you giving your child too many trophies?
That's the question? Too many trophies for kids?
Yeah.
No. I don't buy the whole kids are weak because of too many trophies yeah. argument.
Are we like the start of the participation ribbon generation, or?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. 80s, late 80s.
Okay.
I don't think that it's a problem or whatever, because as a kid, I was never proud of a participation. Like, you're smart enough to know that you don't deserve a reward.
That's what I remember too, was in the grade like 3 science fair, they gave out participation ribbons, and already kids were super 100% wise to it. Like,
yeah,
what the fuck is this?
And I feel like you can still derive a little bit of pleasure from receiving it as a token of the event, like just as a memory thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fine. And I don't think it's going to any, but I don't think it's going to any heads, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't think any kids are getting inflated egos from that.
Right.
Or getting soft or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're probably right. Like, it's less of an issue than we've made it into. Like, I personally didn't, like, I remember getting that grade 3 science participation.
Yeah.
That's the only one I can really recall getting any kind of reward undeservedly for.
I got ribbons every time I did cross country, but I was terrible at cross country and I very much knew it. Like, it's hard to cross the finish line crying and wheezing and feel like a winner no matter what they give you at the end.
Thanks for reminding me, but also simultaneously, thanks for bringing up my PTSD. But you make a good point. Yeah, they did give participation ribbons for that too. But I got to say, I feel like they're much more warranted. Like, you dragged your ass through, you got yourself out to the country, dragged your ass through a country running trail.
Yeah.
Give me something.
Yeah. Like, that's okay. You should give them a little token of their, what they've accomplished, because it's still accomplishing something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was never like, you know what though? There probably is kids that it goes to their heads, but they're psychos and they would be shitty people anyway.
Yeah, I think there is those kids, and it's more a result of like there is this effect of like over pampering your child, or like the snowflake effect of making them soft through telling them that they're the best all the time. I think that's kind of related to the participation trophy, but maybe not directly. And it's, if your kid has a problem with the participation trophy meaning too much to them, it's probably your fault as a parent.
Yeah, like I don't think I'm planning on telling my kids that they can be anything they want, you know what I mean? Like, that just seems like a lie.
Yeah,
you can be really optimistic, and that's could be healthy as long as you know what you're doing, but to say like you can be and do anything, I don't know about that.
I think there's a difference between telling your kid like, thanks, good for trying, and like your effort was worth something, and then, or telling them like you're the best.
Right.
There's a big difference there.
Yeah. What do you think about like taking away the first, second, third place trophies. Like, nobody gets anything. There's no winner.
No, you should still have those.
Yeah.
Because why are we doing anything if we're not like trying to do it the best?
Yeah.
But like, I don't necessarily think we should take away, like, there shouldn't be less trophies, but maybe they should be, like, we could even have more trophies, but as long as they're assigned to the right things.
Right.
Like, they have to be attached to actual some modicum of accomplishment.
So because we should maybe take away participation trophies, but give weird trophies to everyone.
Like, a participation trophy isn't always wrong, because sometimes it's an accomplishment that you participated in.
Yeah.
Like, you still made a science project.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, that was a first for you. But, like, I don't think gamification's wrong. It's actually really good. So, if you can, like, gamify small things in life through trophies, that's not necessarily bad.
How do you feel about the most improved award?
I think it's mostly the award that you don't want to get.
Yeah.
It's like,
I feel like there are negative awards, and that might be one of them.
Yeah.
And that was always a class award in my school. Like, uh-huh. Most improved was lauded.
Uh-huh.
But I don't, as the recipient of it, like, I don't think I would have enjoyed that.
No.
It's improved to what? Like,
it's like, you should have seen you before.
Yeah.
Look at you now. You're okay.
Really rough patch there, though, Timmy.
Yeah. What used to bother me is that they would sometimes only give the award to most improved.
Yeah.
Like, we had, like, writing tests, like cursive writing, and mine would always be good.
Yeah.
But sometimes I wouldn't get a sticker because I was just too consistently good.
Yeah.
And a kid that went from bad to better got sicker.
Yeah.
Now that's bullshit.
He's clearly still harboring some feelings.
I got my parents involved. This episode of Super Good Questions brought to you by puzzles. Start with the ends, sides. It's like meatloaf and brownies.
Jeff, someone called us on the phone.
No way.
Line.
No way.
And they didn't leave a message. It's just a couple seconds of silence.
The Nicky Nicky Nine Doors our hotline?
I guess so. Should we read out their number for the...
No, we can't. Should we can't dox anybody?
Also, if you're going to call, leave a message. I feel like maybe what happened is they heard the last episode with that weird phone number promo in the middle that you did, which didn't say what the number was for. So they just called out of curiosity. That number is so you can leave a message and we'll play it on the show.
We didn't say the number.
Shit. What's the number?
1888BARK56.
You just took a deep breath, like you were going to say that with a lot of energy and enthusiasm. Get a whole bunch of people to call it.
I'm saving it.
Okay. Here's an easy one. How many chicken nuggets could you eat in one sitting?
I'm ashamed to say. I haven't really put this to the test, but I'm scared to find out.
I could eat so many.
Yeah.
What's the biggest box size?
20, I think.
I think so. I think in America they have bigger ones too.
Yeah.
Like maybe a 50-er?
I'd tackle a 50.
You think you could eat 50 nuggets?
I don't know that I could eat 50. I could get close and throw up probably.
Yeah.
But like I've done 20 easily without even blinking.
Yeah. Oh, they're so good. I'm like, it makes me want them just to talk about them right now.
I know, I'm salivating. What's your favorite nugget shape?
The boot.
Yeah, the boot's a classic.
It's the best for dipping.
The best dipper, yeah. Yep. It's dip that toe right in.
What's your nugget sauce?
Oh, I'm pretty much strictly sweet and sour now.
Yeah.
I used to be a honey.
Mm.
What about barbecue? I still go back to honey now and then. No, barbecue, no, that's gross.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Although, like, if I'm in a situation where there's just barbecue, I will use it. I wouldn't go bear nugget over barbecue.
I'd probably go bear nugget.
Yeah, really? Yeah. The bear nugget would have to be a really fresh one.
Yeah, it has to be a good nugget.
Yeah.
Like a good crispy, still a little glisten from the grease.
Yeah. Oh my God. So good.
Mm.
I think I'm hungry. I think we need to go. Maybe before we keep recording, we go get nuggets. I think we should experiment with it and report back on how many we can eat. I'm willing to do it for the podcast.
Yeah, for science. I think this is something we owe the public.
Okay.
And I'm already training to be the first person to drink 4 liters of milk in one sitting.
You want to do it at the same time?
I don't know if that's smart.
Maybe I'll do nuggets while you do milk and then we'll switch.
That could work.
Is there such thing as milk poisoning?
Well, the guy that convinced us, okay, you had a guy that came to your school and convinced you not to do drugs with a crazy slideshow, right?
Yeah.
Well, our guy told us that you can drown on water, which is true. You can drink water to the point that it actually like floods your brain and right. You die. So you can probably do the same with milk.
That'd be so gross.
Oh, yeah. For the coroner. It splits your stupid head open and milk just leaks out.
Oh, he's got milk brain. Another victim of Canada's dairy lobby.
Oh, my God.
Imagine I'll be the first. Going in to visit your loved one in the hospital and they're not responding and then just out of their ear... Just one solitary milk droplet.
But it's kind of pink because it's it's like strawberry milk.
That's what the disease is called.
Strawberry milk brain.
Ugh. Strawberry milk is disgusting in general, but...
You don't like strawberry milk?
No, I know you like it.
Oh, I love it.
It's, yeah.
What milk sauces do you fuck with?
Only chocolate. What are the other ones? Is there butterscotch?
There's such a world out there. There's a Rolo one.
So like peanut butter.
Nestle makes a caramel chocolate.
Right.
Is there
a peanut butter one? I would try that, I think.
I don't know. Good
like
question.
A Reese's mix?
That's a great question.
I guess that's just what you have after a bowl of Reese Puffs.
Yeah. You gotta make it yourself still.
Yeah, but it's not concentrated enough. I want like a thick Reese Poof.
Mm-hmm. Could be done. We have the technology.
How many Reese Cups could you eat in one sitting?
Surprisingly less. A shamefully low number, I would say.
It'd be so much worse. Like nuggets, I feel excited to tackle that. Mm-hmm. But Reese Cups, I know would be gross pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Especially imagine if you didn't have any liquid.
Oh yeah, you need so much milk. Yeah, the stomach volume due to milk is the limiting factor when tackling Reese cups
or anything peanut buttery.
Anything peanut buttery, yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas also when I eat a lot of like sweets, I feel really bad. But if I overeat like a meat, I just get sleepy.
Yeah, yeah. So. I honestly think that I wouldn't even have any digestional issues from the nugget challenge.
Oh, digestional? No. Like my body processes nuggets like,
yeah,
they're like the primary fuel source. So.
Like if I were a dog, they would pour nuggets into my bowl.
Wow. That would be the best dog life.
Would you eat a breakfast cereal that was tiny chicken nuggets?
Absolutely.
Would you put milk on that?
Or I don't know.
Sweet and sour.
How
sauce.
Dry are they in the box?
They're like freshly made from McDonald's.
so they're hot. Soft and hot.
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't know. Probably not milk then.
Oh, that's so gross.
Just like a diluted sweet and sour.
Yeah. Oh. This question might be short if your answer is yes, but do you experience pee shivers?
Yes.
Okay, let's wrap it up.
Good episode. I thought everybody experienced pee shivers.
No, first of all, I think it's only men.
What? Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Are you going to tell me it's genetic too, like curling your tongue?
It might be. That's a decent theory. I do think that not all men get it, but I think it's men only.
Hmm. That's surprising.
And nobody knows what it is.
Really? We haven't solved pee shivers?
No, it's like hiccups.
Hmm. We don't know about hiccups either?
We don't know what causes them.
Wow.
We know what is happening, I think. It's like a spasm in your diaphragm or whatever.
Yeah.
But we don't know why it happens.
Wow. The mysteries of the human body.
Yeah, so we should explain for any women listening, if we're in fact right about that. It's when you finish peeing and then your whole body shivers.
Yeah, it's just a little, you just give like a little, it's like a one scan of your body.
Ooh.
Just shivers down.
That's the sound it makes. But I was thinking if it's men only, is it just shaking the dick off?
That's what makes sense to me now that you say that. It's like,
yeah,
it's just a built-in two shakes.
Because like dogs sort of do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
But here's the thing. I get it when I don't pee sometimes.
That's just a shiver though.
Sometimes it just happens when I'm cold. No, like it's a distinct pee shiver. It's like you can induce... Do you ever like salivate when you think about salt and vinegar chips or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like an induced Pavlovian response. I can bring on a pee shiver without actually peeing sometimes.
Are you thinking about peeing?
I don't know. Kind of. Maybe.
Okay. Why?
Maybe I maybe when that happens, I'm accidentally peeing in my pants a little bit. Do you think it has something to do with like the warmth of the pee leaving your body?
That's what I thought too. But if women don't get it, then maybe not.
I don't know. Yeah. It's just like, maybe it's just an evolutionary leftover thing that we just haven't quite phased out yet.
Oh man. The other day I had a peeing dream and I woke up and I was like, oh my God, I peed the bed. Like I must've peed the bed.
Did you?
No.
Oh.
But like, I don't have peeing dreams without peeing the bed. Ever. No. So like
that's supposed to only mean one thing.
Yeah, it was terrifying. I was like, how can this be happening again?